couple of notices I have. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 3 through 7 we'll be looking at together this morning. The Bible says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." That's going to be my title, "Of God and not of us." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would use your word in our hearts this morning. It's such a blessing to be here and to fellowship around your word, to sing praises to your name. And I pray that each of us would push aside any distractions of life and focus on hearing from you today and allowing the Holy Spirit to do a work in our lives through your powerful word. May your will be done. May you meet with us. We love you. We pray this all in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I think God makes it clear in this passage that there's basically just two groups of people in the world: the saved and the lost. He says, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. You hear Christians often use the phrase lost. That's a Bible word. Lost, as in no hope. And it's true. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 12, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." You basically are saved and you have the Son, or you're lost and you don't have the Son. It's not about denominations. It's not about any of that. It's about Jesus. And it's about whether or not you have accepted the light of the gospel and trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. He says in verse 4, "The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not." We've all experienced this if we've tried to witness to people, how often they just aren't hearing it. They aren't interested. They just don't see it. And we have to remember that the devil is real. And his number one goal is to try to keep people from getting saved. His number two goal, of course, is to try to trip up Christians and ruin their testimonies so they aren't effective servants of the Savior. But it says the God of this world blinds people's minds. We have to remember that the Holy Ghost of God must shine in their hearts with the truth of the gospel before they can be saved. And so it's our mission to share the gospel, but it's between them and God after that. The Holy Spirit will shine in their hearts and they will have a choice to make. Listen to the devil, listen to God. But Paul went on to say in verse 5, "We preach not ourselves." Now, there's many places in the scriptures where Paul had to find it necessary to talk about his heritage, talk about his training, talk about his education, because it helped him get some credence with the Jews, if you will. But at the same time, Paul recognized, he said in 1 Timothy 1:15, he was the chief of sinners. He recognized that we're not here to preach us. We're here to preach the Lord. As he says, "We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord." We have to be ever so careful to only preach Jesus and not try to preach, "Well, I live a better life than you. I'm a better person than you." None of us are better persons than anybody. We're all sinners. Some of us are sinners saved by grace. Some of us aren't. But we're all sinners. And we're not out there to preach us. That's why lifestyle evangelism isn't scriptural. You know, the Bible talks about us encouraging people to trust in the righteousness of God, not the righteousness of man, because man doesn't have any. Our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And so, yes, we're to live a good life, but we're not to live a good life to try to reach people. We're to live a good life to maintain a testimony so that when we open our mouths and share the gospel, it's consistent with our behavior. And that's what that's really the meat of what I'm after here in this passage this morning, starting in verse 6, where he says, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light and the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. If you're born again this morning, a miracle happened. Amen? The light of the gospel of Jesus Christ shined in your heart, and you believed, and you trusted Jesus Christ. You repented of your sin, and you asked Him to be your Savior. The God of the world tried to blind you, but the Holy Spirit shined through, and you believed, and we should just be praising God every day for that. Because there's so many that don't believe. And we're going to heaven because we believed. And we have our sins forgiven because we believe. And we have the Holy Spirit. And we have so much because we believe. But we should just be praising God that this happened for us. If you would, look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, where the Bible talks about this. How we went from darkness to light when we got saved. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. Where the Bible says, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Look at the rest of the verse. Walk as children of light. And so the light shines in our hearts. We trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior. We are now children of light. We were children of darkness. What does God say? Walk as children of light. Our testimony should line up with our profession. If we claim to be born again Christians, God says act like it. Jesus says you are the light of the world. He wants us to shine in this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And now verse 7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. I love this verse. Let's talk about the treasure first. If you're born again, you receive the greatest gift in the history of the world. The gift of salvation. While you're in 2 Corinthians, look at chapter 9 and verse 15. The Bible says here, 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Unspeakable. We could spend eternity trying to describe how amazing this treasure is that God has given to us. The gift of salvation. And it is a gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now look at Ephesians 3:8 if you would. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 8. Where the Bible says, Ephesians 3:8, unto me who am the less than the least of all saints is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Look at these words that God is using. Unspeakable gift and unsearchable riches. Which means no matter how hard we try, we cannot know all the riches of Christ. And that was given to us. It is a gift. This treasure of salvation, we didn't earn it. We can't pay for it. We don't deserve it. God gave it to us when we trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior. And you know, when we get to heaven, you know what we're going to sing about? That gift. Look at Revelation chapter 5 and I'll show you this. We should come to church looking forward to singing about what Jesus has done for us because we're going to do it forever in heaven. Revelation 5:9, and they sung a new song saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation and hast made us unto our God kings and priests and we shall reign on the earth. They sung a new song. You know who this is in Revelation 5? This is Christians. And we're going to be singing a new song, a song of praise for what God has done for us. We have a treasure that can't be measured. It can't be searched out. It's unspeakable. And God goes on to say in our passage, 2 Corinthians 4, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. God has chosen to take the most amazing treasure and put it into some dirt. That's what He did. Earthen vessels. That's us. You know, science has spent so much time trying to figure out what we're made of. And they finally came to the conclusion that we're dirt. All they had to do is read the Bible. Look at Psalm 103, verse 14. All they had to do is read Genesis, where God made man of the dust of the ground. He made him of dirt. We're just made out of dirt. Throw in a little bit of water. Oh, and you got to have some life. That can only come from the Creator. But look at Psalm 103, verse 14. For He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust. That's us. Just a bunch of dirt. And God says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Isn't it amazing that the devil tricks some Christians into the sin of self-righteousness? Think about it. Just a big sack of dirt thinking they're something. But that's what happens. Well, I'm a pretty good Christian. I'm better than my neighbors. I don't do this and I don't do that. We're dirt. And we never should forget that. And Galatians 6:3 says, if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. If we think ourselves to be something when we're nothing, and by the way, we are nothing without God, the Bible says even our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Not our sins, but our righteousnesses, in Isaiah 64, are as filthy rags. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. God chose to do an amazing thing, to not only give us the gift of salvation, but to indwell man. We're called the temple of the Holy Ghost. We're called the temple of God. Isn't that amazing? That our Creator would choose to indwell us when we're just dirt? Earthen vessels? Which is why the point of the message, verse 7, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. God not only indwells us, God empowers us. And anything that we accomplish for God, we do it because of God. And that is why we have to be ever so careful about this thing of self-righteousness. Because there's no such thing for a Christian. Any power, any abilities, any gifts came from God. Look, if you would, to Ephesians 1, talking about this amazing power that God gave us. Look at Ephesians 1, verse 19. God says, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power? Look at the words in that. The exceeding greatness of His power to usward. That's what God did when He saved us. Is He brought us His power. That's why we can claim verses like, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. But it's through Christ. It's His power. And then, look at, if you would, at Romans 11:36. Where again, it's about His power. Romans 11:36. The Bible says, for of Him and through Him and to Him are all things. Of Him, through Him, and to Him, to whom be glory forever. Amen. So it's all of Him, it's all through Him, and it's all to Him. It's all about God. He's the one that makes it possible. It all comes from Him. He's the one that gives us the power. And He's the one we should be giving all the glory to. To Him be glory forever. Amen. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. God chose to put His power into us so that He gets the glory. Because when things do happen for Him through us, who should get the glory? Well, not us. We're just dust. He should. And that's why He says there at the end of verse 7, may be of God and not of us. So there's two things to this. First of all, we must ever remember that it's only God that makes it possible to serve God. That it's through Him. That without Him, we can do nothing. Jesus said that in John 15. Without me, you can do nothing. That's kind of the negative side, but the positive side of this is that it means that we can do anything because it's God doing it. And that should make us excited. That the possibilities of our lives are infinite through the power of God. If we'll let Him do it. Now that's exciting. You think about it. We're just dirt that God chose to put this unspeakable gift into. And we're just here to bring Him glory. But He's going to make it possible. If we'll just surrender to Him. 2 Corinthians, look at chapter 3, verse 5. Notice it says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. We don't have any sufficiency. We don't have any power or strength to get it done. But God does. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency, the power may be of God and not of us. God should get all the glory, but it means anything can happen because God's the one making it possible. And then one of my favorites, go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 24 if you would. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Kind of a short verse, but it says so much about what God can do through us. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. I love that verse. You know, when God was first calling me to preach, this was the verse that spoke to me like no other. Because honestly, I was not interested in being a preacher. I had my career set. I was going to be an engineer, going to be a number cruncher, going to whatever. But definitely not preach. And God just kept bringing me back this verse. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. If God calls us to do something, God doesn't just say, okay, here's what I want you to do, now go do it. He says, here's what I want you to do, now let's go do it together. Isn't that exciting? We're just dirt. But we have this amazing gift of salvation. We have the presence of Almighty God living in us, and He will do it. And then He gets the glory. And that's how it's supposed to work. All that's left is for us to let Him do it. And that's where the problem comes in. Because we want to do it in our own strength. We don't want to yield ourselves to God. We don't want to surrender to Him. I could talk about Romans 12 being a living sacrifice. We don't want to give Him ourselves so that He can do it. Let's remember, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. There's a verse that I keep trying to remember. It says that anything that we have, we got of God. But it's just flown out of my head and I didn't write it down. It's in 1 Corinthians somewhere. So if somebody thinks of it, just tell me the reference. But it says, I can't remember what it says. But it basically says that any ability, any gift that we have it because God gave it to us. Just trust me, it's in there somewhere. But it's true. Any gift that we have, where do the gifts come from? They come from God. Where do the abilities come from? Where does the air come from that we breathe? Where does the ability to live come from? It all comes from God. And it's amazing that we become born-again Christians and we say it's all by faith. It's all through God's power. It's by grace. It's not by works. God did it. God made the universe. And then we are saved for a little while and we say, okay, now I got to do it. The devil comes along and says, you need to do this in your own strength. You need to be better. You need to be stronger. We're just dust. But God can do it if we'll yield to Him. That's why the Bible says, be filled with the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Because none of these things can happen if we aren't. We talked about this Wednesday night. He is ready. He, of course, is able. He's God. It always comes down, the stumbling block is always us. So remember that the excellency of the power may be of God. Where does the power come from? It comes from God. Where does the ability come from? Where does anything come from? It comes from God. So we should give God the glory. It's all for God. Remember that. Did you find the verse?
Maybe you're struggling because it's James 1, verse 17.
That's a good verse. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above. That's good. Thank you. Appreciate that. That it all comes from God. Therefore, God should get all the glory. And if that's our goal, is to only give God the glory for anything that happens, well, then now we're somebody that God can use. If the goal is to bring glory to ourselves, have people look at us, well, look what that person did. Listen, that person did nothing. Either God did it or nobody did it. Because we're dirt. So never forget that it may be of God and not of us. And God is ready and willing. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. I love that verse because of the it. Well, what's the it? Anything. God can do anything through us if we're willing to let Him. If we're willing to acknowledge that we're just dirt. And that everything we have, everything we can accomplish, everything we are headed for, heaven, eternity with the Lord, it's all of God and not of us. So that should really be the theme of our Christian walk. I want it to be all of God and not of me. And think what God can do with a Christian with that kind of an attitude. Because then there's no more doubts. Well, can this get accomplished for God? Well, what a silly question. Can God do anything? Therefore, it can be accomplished for God. You see, we can't doubt anymore. Like I said, way back when God was calling me to preach, back 88, 89 time frame, or no, it was earlier than that, 85, 86, I don't remember. I've slept since then. But it was always, well, God, I'm not able. And through His Word, God would say, you don't have to be. You just have to be willing. It's not about our ability. It's about our availability. God can use us. Us sacks of dirt. He can use us. Because He's the one that will do it. That the excellency, the power may be of God. And not of us. Let's pray.